Are you ready?
Massacre.
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 Don't you love it?
Ah, yes. Hello and welcome. This is Massacre Radio on WKMA, Cleveland's premier and number one HD2 station. And we have yet another dynamite show for you today on this, the 40th episode. Jeez, oh man, where does the time go? Seems like just yesterday I was in the manager's office pitching the idea for the show, and now here we are 40 deep. Time sure does fly. Hey, we got a lot of feedback from our previous Steve Albini episode, so thanks for checking that out. Hey, you know, Steve Albini didn't like Bark's root beer, and for me, that's enough to call him a tasteless scumbag, even on top of all that other stuff. You know, Bark's has bite, and so does this radio program. Anyway, if you have any thoughts on Steve Albini, this show, or anything at all, really, you can always call us toll-free at 440-941-8585 and leave a message day or night. Hey, we'll be back with more Massacre Radio after this brief timeout. Don't you even think about changing the channel.
This is Massacre Radio.
When you wanna get the job done, dump the asphalt, lay the asphalt.
Have you ever considered the importance of asphalt? Here are some data points for you to consider. Asphalt roads are nearly a quarter of the price compared to concrete. Concrete takes time, resources, money, and patience. Did you know that concrete roads are stationary? Kind of like a statue that you can drive on, minus all the beauty and allure. Bottom line is, if you fancy a smooth, quiet drive with the added benefits of safety and peace of mind, you can always turn to asphalt, because asphalt will never turn on you. And remember, if someone starts talking high about concrete, tell them to put their head in the mixer and hit the spin cycle, because I'm choosing asphalt, the eighth wonder of the world.
Yeah!
Concrete don't like it.
You know it really hates it.
Dump the asphalt. Face the surface.
This message was brought to you by the Department of Asphalt Advocacy and the Ag Council.
This is WKMA, home of Massacre Radio and Members Only Dave. WKMA means radio.
Massacre Radio.
We are back, and you are in fact listening to Massacre Radio on WKMA Cleveland and HD2 Station, the industry leader in broadcast excellence for a record 2 consecutive years now. How about that? Anyway, I see that we have today's guest on the horn, so let me go ahead and patch him in. There we go. My guest today is none other than Roger Fisher, also known as Snuff Masks on Instagram. He's a bit of a special effects wizard, so to speak, you know, sculpting, molding, that whole bit, and he's calling in all the way from Greece. Hey, Roger Fisher, thanks again for your time today. How are we doing today? Roger, thank you. How are we doing?
Yeah, that's all right. Yeah, no, I'm all good, man. And you?
Good, man, good. You know, with you being in Greece and all, there's a six-hour time difference, and I got to tell you, I just woke up, still not all the way through my first cup of coffee yet even, but I'm getting there, it's slowly but surely.
Yeah, I guess so. Like, here it's 4 in the afternoon, so
yeah.
I'm in the future, man, and the day's pretty good.
So as you just heard in my introduction there, Roger, I mentioned that you were somewhat of a special effects wizard. Would you say that's an accurate description of what it is that you do?
I guess so, but I kind of diversify a lot, but I kind of found myself ending up in special effects and props and slowly getting into more directing and stuff like that. But originally coming from like a music background, I kind of got into it because at some point we're trying to make some stuff for our film clips and being a bit more theatrical with music stuff. So I'd make masks and make all different types of shit. But from a young age, I always wanted to do film stuff. So I was doing the early like kind of effects with one of my best friends growing up. So we would, like one of the first effects that I did is we got the cranberries and like chewed them up and spat them on a friend's face. And then like his dad had a rifle. So we were like 10 or something like that, and like stole the rifle out of his dad's room and like put it to my friend's head. We didn't know if it was loaded or whatever at that point. We were too young. It was pretty stupid stuff, but held the gun to his head. Pause the video, put some of these spat out, chewed up cranberries and stuff, chuck that on his face, and then record again and move his head. And then, you know, we shot him in the head. So we're trying to do like a cannibal war film about, like, Vietnamese cannibal war film, like, sort of thing when we were kids. So, yeah, it was always this thing of wanting to do that. But I don't know about Wizard, but definitely getting better. So.
Well, it is interesting you mentioned the Vietnam short that you made when you were 10, because I don't know many teenagers or kids who really even have Vietnam on their radar. It kind of reminds me of that kid from the movie The Wildlife. You ever seen that with Chris Penn? There's a character within the movie who's a teenager and is absolutely obsessed with Vietnam. But for you, why Vietnam? What about it did you find so enamoring at such a young age?
Well, growing up in Australia, it's the same as like growing up in any kind of like England, Australia, or America. You know, we're fed the same diet of Hollywood, basically. So, say, also Australia was in like all of the same wars that, you know, all the Allies were in and stuff. But I guess like growing up, seeing Platoon and all these films, I'm a massive science fiction fan as well. So something about, you know, one of my favorite films growing up, of course, is Aliens. So, you know, Aliens uses a lot of that kind of Vietnam style war theme in the science fiction look. Then you've also got like, say, Star Wars, which, you know, all the empires kind of based on sort of Nazis and shit. So you're kind of brought up as like, you know, if you're into science fiction and shit, all the war element, and then some horror element as well. So at some point I was like, also all my friends are kind of, it's a multicultural country, so like I have some Asian friends, some Turkish friends, they could look Vietnamese with a bit of put black on them and dirty their face, not so politically correct now, but you know, as kids, and then you've got more of the Anglo-Saxon kind of Australian look. So then like other dudes, they were the Americans. So yeah, it didn't have anything to do with just apart from we were all like crazy into film shit. So
it also says here in this thick research packet the good producers of this fine radio program provided me that while you were growing up, your mother was an art teacher at university and your father was a drummer in many different bands. So to me, that sounds like a fairly eclectic and measured household as far as the arts are concerned. Now, my question here is, between the two, who had the bigger influence on you and got you more in touch with your artistic side, would you say?
Definitely my mother. But I would say that the skill of playing music or playing drums and producing and this kind of stuff, I could learn up to a certain point, but the actual sculpting technique and the years of development at an earlier age, I'd say it has to do with my mum. So I spent more time with my mum, but I think it's a different type of meditation, you know, because that's the thing, like it's also with sculpting and anything that you're doing solitary. So say the difference with music, when I was younger, is being a drummer, you need to play with people. You know, you can practice by yourself, but the actual performance and where you want to get to is having a band. So say when you're doing sculpture or something like that, it's very solitary. So say, I don't know, it's kind of a different thing. One's a bit loud and the other one's kind of a bit more of a softer touch.
No, and listen, that makes total sense, you know, achieving that zen-like state. It's like a runner's high, but for your hands, just like in that scene from the movie Ghost. Anyway, Robert, when was it that you first realized that you had a real knack or a real talent at the whole sculpting and design thing? What was the first piece that you did that kind of gave you pause and reason to think, hey, maybe, just maybe, I can in fact hang with the big dogs?
Well, I think that was later on, and still I wouldn't say that. Yeah, so like, I don't know, I think I'm more humble with the way I look at myself. I always compare myself to people that are like way, way, way better than me. So I would say still even now, like the way I see that I'm improving, I look at something now and go, okay, fuck now. Like, so it's kind of an ongoing thing. Maybe for my first one, there was never this moment of going, now I'm good, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, now I know, you know, where what I have to do next to improve. Maybe the difference is saying having confidence to take on more responsibility for jobs that are harder. So there is this thing of, say, like at some point you get asked to do a job and you think, oh, okay, that sounds kind of scary. I don't have that thing anymore, where maybe when I was younger, someone would ask, oh, can you make this thing? And I would do a lot of research to try and work out how it's possible to, like, the best way of doing it. And also the problem of being on a budget. So you're always coming, trying to rack your brain around, like, oh, okay, how can I do it cheaper? How can I do it? And this really takes a lot of strain on the actual art process, because the quality is going to be less because you're using lesser materials. And, you know, you're spending more hours because you're using other materials and then taking up space in your mind when instead of just like, say, in the States, you know, you could be used just like at your fingertips, finding, you know, really high quality materials. So, yeah.
Roger Fisher is my guest today on Massacre Radio. He does special effects, makeup, that whole thing, and he does remarkable work. But as my ninth grade French teacher would always say, don't believe me, do your own research. And you can, in fact, find Robert in all of his work posted on his Instagram account, at Snuff Masks. Go ahead and give that a look. Okay, Roger, so in preparation for speaking with you, I was doing some research of my own, and I read somewhere that makeup effects artist Stuart Freeborn, who you know worked on the original Star Wars trilogy, said one time that he gets all of his best ideas from his dreams. But what about you? Where do you get your best ideas from, would you say?
I think walking a lot, like being outside and, like, I guess hustling, going, oh, okay, or... I also make like figurines. So at some point, because you know I'm a geek from the 80s, I was like, oh, okay, like Princess Leia, the side of her buns kind of looks like testicles. So at some point, I was like, oh, Penis Leia instead of Princess Leia. So then I made up a card and a toy of that. And so yeah, it's just kind of all sitting around with friends making some jokes. That's another one, Jabba the Cunt, which came out, which was sitting around with a friend. And he was like, oh, what about Jabba the Cunt? I was like, oh man, fuck, I got to make it. So yeah, I guess sometimes actually the dreams thing scares me. That's something that at some point I had some dream that a friend had like moved from Australia to Turkey, and then from Turkey came to Greece, and he brought me all this old art that I'd given him. So it was like the front of my house, and there was all these masks that I'd never made and these creatures I never made. And I still remember how they look, and I was like, they fucking scared the shit out of me. So at some point I was like, oh, maybe I shouldn't bring them from that world into this world. So there's a few things like that where it's like, I don't know, like not that I'm not a spiritual person or something, but I'm like, oh, maybe it's a weird part of the unconscious, the part that maybe I shouldn't bring them in. But of course, if I need to, then I will at some point. But yeah, that's a good question, actually.
Roger, in this research packet I have here that I had referenced earlier, I was also reading about how you enjoy working alone most of the time. And friend of the show, Zach Ward, who was, of course, famously the postal dude in the movie Postal, said that when he's writing scripts or anything like that, he actually likes listening to the Blade Runner soundtrack. But what about with you when you're alone? You know, you've established it's like a zen type thing with you, but do you have on any music or other fine radio programming when you're doing your business, or is it just mostly the sounds of silence?
Yeah, well, I guess like documentaries is good, or there'll be like at some point, so I'll go through periods where I'll just put on like, hip hop compilations or like 80s hip hop comps, stuff like that, or go through like some old series, or like, I don't know, because I have a bit of a sickness at some point, I'll just be like, oh, okay, like have like Aliens 3 on repeat for like 2 days. And just like, because I don't need to visualize it because I've seen it so much. So as I'm working, I'm seeing like every frame of the film. So it's like a big mixture of stuff. But if I'm really stressed, I'll put on something I've seen a million times before in the background, or yeah, I don't really put on, I'm not one of those guys to put on like classical music and be like, oh, now I'm sculpting, or like, or some shit like that. So yeah, it just depends. Maybe I put on like something to get into the mood. Like some years ago, I really got into a band, the Zombie. It's like some sort of French sort of horror, electro, 80s revival, synth pop shit. But they make some really cool stuff, and then do like good John Carpenter covers and stuff like that. So I'd put that on while I'm working, or something like that. But yeah, and a lot of I listen to a lot of narrative stuff. So like, because I'm also into voice acting and stuff, so I listen to a lot of drama, sort of sci-fi. I can't think of the word. The storybooks. My brain's fucked at the moment. But
yeah, the whole voice acting narration type stuff is pretty cool. It's like the essence of radio, especially dating back to the infancy of the medium on into its mainstream popularity these days. You know.
Of course. And I think if I could have, because of all the jobs that I do, if I could have, say, like, if I could get paid a really decent wage, I would just do voice acting. It's some of my favorite stuff to do. Like, I guess you probably know Jimmy Screamer Claws. So with him, I've done lots of voice acting stuff, but it's like I'm in love with that. Ever since a kid, I'm just like, you know, doing voices of Dark Crystal and Star Wars and all sorts of like monster voices and shit. And then like, so like doing soundtrack work and mixing that with the voices and so the whole kind of building like creature design as well. So say like I did a job just the other day for the National Theatre in Greece. And as I'm like making this a chopped off head for a Greek, ancient Greek play, as I'm looking at the head and I've got the actor there making like noises and shit. Cause it's like, I'm talking to the, you know, the expression of the creature that I'm creating. So it's kind of like, yeah, he's coming up with a whole kind of theme, but it also stops you from going crazy.
You know, Roger, I've often wondered about this. So let's say you're watching a movie or a fine television program or what have you. How often do you see some shoddy special effects or lazy makeup work and think, oh, man, I can't believe they allowed that to be shown. That looks horrible. Is that ever something that crosses your mind, or do you not think that way?
Yeah, it does happen, but because I'm into such B-grade shitty 80s trash stuff as well, like, it's kind of rare, but maybe I'll see it... So, like, say, for instance, like, I don't really do any, like, aged makeup. So making someone look older, I don't really do that. So, but I do notice, and I have friends that do that really well. So when I see a series that, I think it was Midnight Mass, maybe, that at some point I was like, I'm sorry, whoever worked on that, well, no disrespect. But there were some moments in that where I was like, oh, that's kind of dodgy. Where other people think that it's great, but just from my eye, I was like, oh, I didn't really like that. As time goes on, I start to notice, like, you know, taking away that kind of curtain and seeing behind, like, how things are made, like, things. So I'm always looking at the background and the props and the sets and all those, that kind of thing. So it's really interesting when you see how dodgy they are. Like, I remember the first time being, like, as a teenager, being, like, super stoned and watching Serpico. At some point going, what the fuck? Like, it's just a big, shitty set, which, like, really, like, destroyed at some point. But I have maybe seen it once since then, but I remember just going, oh, this is shit. I don't know. It's always the like, I don't smoke anymore, but when I was younger, I was a big smoker. So at some point, like, smoking, that was a test. Can the film stand up to a joint, you know, because you really see through it, like, yeah.
As I might have mentioned, you're originally from Australia, but now reside in Greece. What were some of the biggest things you learned about Greece or noticed about Greece and took note of, and how did it influence your later work, even up to present day?
Oh, it's a weird question. Well, it's like, that's the thing, also how I ended up here. So it's kind of a bit of like, maybe my view of the country has to do with that. So, and the inspiration that I have has to do with like how I ended up here. So I was like touring with the band Butcher's Harem and another noise project. And one of the other guy in the band, Bush Pig, is half Greek. So at some point we're touring around. I was having a really shit time. I was staying in Maastricht, which is in Holland. I was like, what am I doing? I had enough of being Europe. I fucking hate it. And at some point, like, the other guy in the band's like, oh, just come to Greece, man. Like, we've got these other shows to finish and then fuck off. And I was like, yeah, all right, fine. I'll come and do that. In my mind, if probably didn't come to Greece, then maybe I'd still be in Australia. So we came to Greece and instantly fell in love with the place. It was 2009. There was massive riots. The year before, a kid had been shot by the police. And in general, they have a huge culture in the city in the center of Athens, which is kind of about like in the 70s there was a junta that the, you know, fascist government that had taken over, and at some point there were riots and they started to kill students. So 23 students were killed over the space of a few days. Mm-hmm. And they had like a university where, you know, that was their stronghold, and then the government rolled tanks into the university and took over, and then this was the downfall of government. The people took back control of the country. But when I showed up in Athens, the day I was in Athens was the November the 17th, which is the anniversary of this. So I show up, and because of the year before there had been police brutality, the city was on fire. Literally, there were like 10 big buildings in the center of the city that were on fire. You know, riots everywhere, people running, tear gas, cops arresting people, beating people. Like, you know, the cops here have machine guns on the street and stuff. Crazy shit. And I'm like, this place is awesome. Like, I love this place. So it was like, you know, at some point I was like, oh, look, where people were smashing the library and like throwing stones at the cops. I'm just like, oh, look at. At some point I realized it's a mixture of hooliganism and kind of a bit more complicated than that. But at some point I was like, oh, like people actually care here. So seeing that kind of culture here, then also like the ancient Greek history as well, which I guess Greeks growing up with that kind of thing, to them it's just like this shitty, you know, like a reenactment of something that happens in the Civil War in America. You don't really, you know, maybe it depends what kind of American you are, I guess. But
right.
Most people I would think don't actually care that much and know that much about it. You know, they're kind of busy caring about something else. So a lot of Greeks here, even though it's strange, you're in the heart of the city and you've got Acropolis up the top. It's like there's a whole city there. So it's weird that you see this like ancient world with a modern world, like, you know, mingling in between, and then landing Greece, but mixing food with that, because a lot of the Greek cultures are, you know, based around family and food and you know, this kind of like hospitality in a way, but like mixing that with a horror film, it's like, you know, sort of, you know, the good recipe, put it that way.
I mean, who among us, Roger, doesn't enjoy food or, you know, a little baklava from time to time? Hey, on that note, we are going to take a brief time out here on Massacre Radio and be back with more from my guest today, Roger Fisher, after this.
All right, listen here, friendo. You get one phone call, so you better make it count.
I don't know any numbers off the top of my head. I haven't the slightest clue as to who to call.
Look, figure something out or don't. I don't care. You've got a minute, okay?
Okay. Let's see, what was that number I'm trying to remember? Was it... Please. Oh, it's ringing.
You've reached the Massacre Radio voicemail.
Oh, God damn it, it's a crummy radio station. What the hell is Massacre Radio, and why did he sound like that?
On our airwaves. Thank you.
All right, buddy, your time's up. You're coming with me.
No, let me make another call. I promise. I accidentally called Massacre Radio.
Don't be like that guy. Call us on purpose at 440-941-8585. 24/7, 365. We serve it up on Massacre Radio. It feels good.
Después del show en Massacre Radio, ella te están dando las señales por los avances. Si ahora todo lo que necesitas es proporcionar la leche y la mil. Uno tía mí aquí mismo, WKMA Cleveland. Una estación HD2.
Oh, yeah, that's the sound of The Butcher's Harem. Song's called Aroused by Staring Eyes of a Corpse. Of course, Butcher's Harem, the band that Roger was a part of, doing artwork for, that sort of thing. Anyway, we're back here on Massacre Radio on WKMA, Cleveland's premier and number one HD2 station. Joining me today is special effects artist, sculptor, and just all-around good guy, Roger Fisher. You can check him out as well as all of his work on his Instagram page, @snuffmasks. Or go check out his Big Cartel page, snuffmasks.bigcartel.com. Okay, so let's get back into it here, Roger. I mentioned your Instagram page, and as is the case with most special effects artists who deal with the subject matter that you do, you know, the gruesome stuff or what have you, I'm sure your page has been reported and banned, or whatever the case may be, a few times over. Has that been the case, and why is it, do you think, it keeps happening? I mean, I'm a reasonable guy, and I just feel it's just as easy if someone doesn't like something they see, they can either unfollow and keep it moving, you know? Or go kick rocks, even. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
I think everyone wants to get on their righteous horse, and at some point I can understand it in some sense. So... you can say, like, my best friend, you know, he really hates that part of what I do. So even with the music stuff, because if you see some of the other music I do, like Butcher's Harem is a good example of that, which is all, you know, like snuff porn gore rap. So pretty much every word in there apart from rap is pretty offensive to a lot of people. So, you know, and that's like just we try and talk about like any really heavy taboo topic in there, like the whole range. And so for someone that might have suffered, you know, as a victim of any of those kind of things, or just in general, like in my friend suffers from PTSD. So for him, it's really upsetting. But I do see how much he is affected just by the news, which is, you know, probably a really more heavy factor of like, you know, if you really want to see like the fucked up shit in the world, you know, and especially that now, say with the algorithm of your phone. So, you know, if you mention, so, you know, he's worried about home invasion. So he talks about home invasion. So his phone shows him home invasion news, you know, like someone was stabbed. So, you know, you're getting fed your fears are being fed to you anyway. So I can understand people being upset, but I guess, I don't know, at some point art sometimes is meant to be provocative. So if it's done that, it's done its job, right?
So when we look at your Instagram page and just any sampling of your artwork in general, your sculpts and just everything you've done and continue to do, it's clear that you not only have an eye for this sort of thing, Roger, but you're incredibly talented. And I mean that. But what's next? What does that next step look like to you? What is the ultimate goal, something you have yet to achieve that you'd like to? Because I know you had mentioned earlier that you were rolling around ideas for a film, but is that what you currently have your sights set on, or what's the deal there?
Well, that's pretty much, at the moment, that's like my top goal. I've been doing like a couple of directing some small film clips, doing the directing production. I'm working with a friend of mine, Zettel, who's a DOP, and I've been there trying to get a small team together and trying to work out a good workflow between us, so that from here we'll probably do another 2-3 film clips. So it's like, you know, not that much money involved. We're trying to get the best out of what the money that we have. Really high quality clips, like the last film clip that I did, which was like Jeffrey Dahmer. Ed Kemper. So these days my brain is destroyed. Of Monument of Misanthropy, we did, it's called A Nice Beheading for Mum. And that's about Ed Kemper, and we set it in the 70s, all the styling I did, finding a lot of old, in general, I collect so much shit, like I have a prop house as well, where it's just full of old 70s and 80s stuff. So like, so it's all the styling set in the 70s, and we try to like, you know, really somehow make it more of a documentary and a bit accurate. So yeah, my main goal is to follow down that path and start working as a director. And also here, like the special effects people in Greece, it is a small community. So at some point I've talked to my friends and saying like, come on, man, like we'll do it together. We'll get money on the back end. We'll all work for free. Like, oh, for free. Okay. But, you know, like the idea is to have, you know, like get a couple of hundred thousand and make a really, really good film, and then hopefully make some money from that to like then make a larger studio and keep going down that track. So yeah, kind of starting to produce kind of maybe like a film house that's doing those kind of things. So at the moment that's like the only goal that I have in sight. That's kind of a big one. So trying to find funding and yeah, I don't know, I have to sell my ass somehow.
Well, I mean, that shouldn't prove to be too tough of a task, because it certainly seems like you have yourself pointed in the right direction there, Roger, no?
Yeah, well, that's it. So it'd be hopefully at the end of the year, I'll do like a proof of concept, so a short version of the feature-length version, so like just a snippet of it, of, you know, the kind of the idea, and then try and spruik that around to get some people interested in some funding, or I don't know, get a second job as a prostitute or something.
There's always that. Now, I wanted to ask you
There's always that. There's always that, yeah.
Before I forget, I did want to mention that I was looking through your Instagram page, and the one piece that did catch my eye, my personal favorite of the bunch, was the severed rollerblader's leg, I think it was. I mean, it's just a fun concept, it's very humorous, and you executed it beautifully, my man.
Well, actually about that is this was like, every year I do an event, so it's called Blade House, so they're like rollerblade dudes in Greece. And they have a full house that's like decked out for doing skating and stuff. They have bowls and fucking ramps and all the classic inline skater stuff. But I do their prizes each year. So at some point that's why it has a rollerblade and stuff. But it's actually technically a pen. So where the bone is, that the bone comes out and that's a pen. So the leg is actually a lid of the small bone pen. So the weird small little thing there, but at some point it's actually technically a pen, but I haven't, I should label it properly. It's this oversized pen, you know?
That's even better. But, I mean, yeah. Thought. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's something that's really weird. At some point, I was like, dude, I don't know if this is cool, but it's actually a pen. And everyone was like, what the fuck, man? Like, where does your brain go? You know? I was like, yeah, but look, man, it's like, I was super excited. Everyone thought it was pretty funny, though. But yeah, I do that. I do the stuff for them every year, and I think this year we'll do like a chopped off hand with some tattoos on the hand and stuff like that. But yeah, it's pretty cool. So those kind of jobs are fun. That's like on another note, like, you know, I've made like really weird jobs. Like at the top of a list of jobs is like making a sex doll for someone. Mm-hmm. So like a private customer writes to me, they want custom work, so I do custom work, and at some point he sent me a picture of like a girl that he wanted to look something like her, just a head at first, so I did a sculpture of the head, sent that to him, and then he was like, can you do the body as well? I'm like, okay, sure. And then, like, with no hands, no arms, no legs, no head, so, and the, you know, fuckable, so it was kind of a bit of a weird job there, you know? So that's the thing with my work, is it can be really fun and weird at times. So, you know, if you, I guess you need a sense of humor if, you know, maybe a little bit of a stomach, but that's at some point, like, people will ask me, like, aren't you scared? Because I live in my studio as well. So half of it's a house, half of it's a studio. Mm-hmm. So people are like, aren't you scared? It's like, yeah, no, actually, like, the, you know, all my friends there, you know, I'm never alone.
Roger Fisher is my guest today. We're kind of winding things down here on Massacre Radio. But before we do that, you had mentioned the Star Wars-influenced pieces you have up there on your snuffmask.bigcartel.com website. And I also did notice the Jabba the C***, of course. Are you at all worried about Lucasfilm or Disney contacting you about this and sending a cease and desist letter or something along those lines?
It's really interesting because at the same time, like, the amount of bootleg figures that are, like, in the world now, like, someone, like, there's countless dudes that are doing bootleg figures. So I'm such a small entity, and I think the, like, maybe Disney could come off after me. But yeah, I don't think it's really that bad, you know.
Oh, I can't believe I almost forgot to ask you about this, Roger. It says here a very well-known actress, an A-list actress even, I'd venture to say. It's my understanding that she came into your shop one time. Who was this A-list actress, and what can you tell us about that visit and what she bought and that sort of thing? Who was it?
Rosario Dawson happened to drop by my studio, which was amazing. And of course, I was in Australia. Like, this is how my luck goes. So I was in Australia, and my assistant was here working. And somehow she ended up coming here, and she walked in and saw my Jabba the Cunt and was, like, laughing her ass off, wanted a copy of it. And also one of my penis layers. So at some point I was like, oh, maybe, because I'll end up sending her one. And I was like, oh, maybe send me a picture with you having it. And I was worried, oh, maybe Disney would do it, but no one cares. So, yeah, I kind of had a bit of a brush in with someone from Star Wars actually seeing it, you know, and going, oh, no, that's fine or whatever. So just like, there's a picture of her with my work and my assistant. And at some point, because she saw all the work that I have here, and she was saying that, oh, what does this guy actually do? And my assistant Christine was saying, oh, he's doing a bit of directing, a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And she's like, oh, he sounds like Frank Miller. So I was just like, when I heard that, I was like jacking off, going, what the fuck? And I was like, I need to put that on a card, you know? And the geek inside me, get her to sign something. You know.
Oh, man, if you had only been there. It's hard to believe she was there in the first place, but let alone when you were out. Life's kind of funny like that sometimes, you know? So, Roger, we established your Instagram at snuffmasks, as well as the snuffmasks.bigcartel.com website for the good folks at home listening to peruse and purchase items as they wish. But before we get you out of here, is there anything else you'd like to plug?
I think mainly my Instagram. Apparently I'm old school now. So I don't really have a proper website, which everyone's saying, like, I have to start actually doing, but I'm like too busy and bored to do it. But also the Big Cartel, it's like, doesn't really have my new stuff. It has mainly things that are linked to music projects. So, like, I make merch for other bands as well. So at some point I've done a couple of projects with Cranium. Also Butcher's Harem, so there's a lot of, like, t-shirts, also some rappers from Russia, and so you get a whole massive list of different stuff there, but it's all pretty dated. Like, there hasn't been sort of a new product there because these are mass produced, so right. And at some point I'm late with orders because it's like me and my balls doing it. So it's you know, like, at some point you know, I might have like 20-30 orders, and at the same point working on another film or something, and I might be like 3 months behind, so people get really pissed off with that. But it's also that I'm just saying, yeah, the work there is like more mass produced stuff. So if you go to like just Snuff Masks on Instagram, you're going to see more work, and it's a better place to contact me as well. But of course there is the other products, and you can find like my toys and things like that on the Big Cartel. But yeah, probably checking my Instagram to see like more current events.
Roger Fisher has been my guest today on Massacre Radio. You can find him on his Instagram page at snuffmasks. That's S-N-U-F-F-M-A-S-K-S. Hey, Roger, thanks again for taking time out of your busy work schedule to join us today. And all the best to you in your future endeavors. All right, man, keep in touch.
Okay, thanks, man. Take it easy.
Massacre.
I'd like to extend a special thank you to my guest today who called in all the way from Greece, Roger Fisher. Go check him out. He does really fantastic work. I had a hard time saying snuff masks. It's just a smorgasbord of word soup, you know? Say it with me now. Snuff masks. Snuff masks. Snuff masks. It's one of those things that the more you say it, the weirder it sounds. But Roger is a great guy, so thanks again for joining us, man. Anyway, that about does it from me on this episode of Massacre Radio, number 40 by my count. Be sure to tune in next week, same time on your HD2 dial. Until then, I've been your host, Members Only Dave, and I'll talk at you next week. Cashing in the rocks, just to get you face to face. Hey, you're crazy, bitch, but you fuck so good, I'm on top of it when I dream of doing you all night. Scratches all down my back to keep me right on. Hey, you're crazy, bitch, but you fuck so good, I'm on top of it when I dream of doing you all night. Scratches all down my back to keep me right on.